This is Cross Hope with Randy Snyder. Cross Hope is broadcast daily and shares 5 minutes of hope and encouragement from the Word of God. Our companion website is www.crosshope.org. Now, with today's uplifting message, here's Randy.
Well, what is it that you do, and I'm not being funny or sarcastic or whatever, I really mean it as a legitimate question. What do you do every day? I was writing down recently some things that most people do every day. The first one that came to mind is eat. I think most people, it would be safe to say, there may be a few exceptions, but most people eat every day. Do you remember that diet where you ate everything you wanted for 5 days, and then for 2 days you restricted yourself to 1,000 calories? I quit after day five. I just couldn't. It wasn't helping me at all. It just wasn't working. So I quit. But we eat every day. Most people do. We talk to people every day. We groom every day to get ready. Some of you spend more time than others prepping and getting ready for the day. We feed a dog every day. We walk a dog every day. We email every day. We Facebook every day. And there are a number of activities that we do every day. And yet today, I want to talk to you about something the Word of God says I'm to do every day, and most people in this room, and I'm including myself, don't do. Where David in Psalm 145 says, every day I praise God for what he's done. Every day of my life I praise God for what he's done. What would happen in your life? What would happen in your marriage? What would happen in your family if you took the admonitions we're going to read today about praising God every day? What difference would it make in those areas of your life? We're going through 7 prayers that can change your life. Most of them have been from Psalms. Today we're in Psalm 145. And at the end of the message, I do this every week, I'm going to suggest to you how you can pray it. But we're going to read selected verses from Psalm 145. Beginning at verse 1. David is the writer. It's called a psalm of praise in my Bible. I will exalt you, my God, the King. I will praise your name forever and ever. Every day, underline that, every day I will praise you and extol your name forever and ever. Great is the Lord and most worthy of praise. His greatness no one can fathom. And I love this verse. We're going to talk about it. One generation will commend your works to another. One generation will commend your works to another. They will tell of your mighty acts. And then verse 8, the most quoted verse in the Old Testament. This verse is repeated over and over from the book of Exodus all the way to the end of the Old Testament. The Lord is gracious and compassionate, slow to anger and rich in love. I want you to hear it again since it's the most quoted verse in the Old Testament. The Lord is gracious and compassionate, slow to anger and rich in love. Verse 13, your kingdom, speaking of kingdom, your kingdom is an everlasting kingdom and your dominion endures through all generations. The Lord is faithful to all his promises and loving toward all he has made. The Lord upholds all those who fall and lifts up all who are bowed down. The eyes of all look to you, and you give them their food at the proper time. You open your hand and satisfy the desires of every living thing. The Lord is righteous in all his ways and loving toward all he made. And then we close with verse 18. The Lord is near to all who call on him. You need to hear that today. The Lord is near to all who what? Who do the right thing? No, who call on him. The Lord is near to all those who keep all the rules? No. The Lord is near to all who call on him, to all who call on him in truth.
Well, so begins our second to the last message in our series called 7 Prayers That Can Change Your Life. This is from Psalm 145 that talks about praising God every day of our life. That's not just a suggestion. I believe it's a command from the Lord. Our website is crosshope.org. That's one word, crosshope.org. Well, rarely do I ever ask you to take out a pen and paper and write something down. In fact, to be honest with you, I can't remember the last time I've asked people to do that on Cross Hope. But I want you to have paper and pen ready if possible, because I'm going to give you 3 things that you and I can praise God for every day. I feel it's worth writing down. I really do. 3 things that you can praise God for every day of your life. 7 days a week, 365 days a year. God bless you as you listen to part two of the sixth message in the series, Seven Prayers That Can Change Your Life, this week from Psalm 145.
I want to talk to you about everyday activity, including praising the living God. Brian Bill is a minister in Rock Island, Illinois. It's part of the Quad Cities, I believe, in northwestern Illinois. He talks about being at a conference in Omaha, Nebraska years ago at a church. It was a praise conference. People came together to praise God for 2 or 3 days. And at one of the evening sessions of this conference, everyone at the conference was handed a helium-filled balloon with a string. So everybody, I mean, just saw hundreds of balloons, helium-filled balloons in the sanctuary. Then the instruction was this: sometime during the service, when you're aware of something God's done for you, something that God has blessed you with, as an act of praise, an act of saying, God, thank you for that, let go of your balloon. And all during the service, you know, the complete service, every few seconds a balloon would go up. And Brian Bill said the remarkable thing was, though, when the service was over, a third of the people still were holding their balloons. A third. Couldn't think of anything to thank God for. Couldn't think to anything to be grateful for. And get this, this is a conference about praise. And they couldn't think of anything to praise God for. Maybe that's a reflection on your life. What is it that you need to express or gratitude or praise for? I'm going to give you three things, and you could write this down. What do we praise God for? What he's done in creation, in bringing this universe about, and everything that has to do with provision and power in your life and providing for your needs. Then we thank God and we praise him for what he's done in redemption. What's that mean? What he did on the cross through his son Christ, and how we're forgiven through what happened on the cross. We praise for creation, what he's done in redemption, and then you praise God for what he's done in your individual life. You say, well, I'm having trouble right now thinking. I'm holding on to the balloon. And you may be. You may still be holding on to the balloon. But you know what my prayer is today, and I'm saying this in a figurative sense, it's all of us, by the end of this service, you'll let go of the balloon. And you'll say, God, I praise you. I praise you for what you've done in creation. I praise you for what you've done in redemption. And I praise you for what you've done in my life and in my family in particular. C.S. Lewis said something about praise that is very powerful. We praise what we enjoy because the praise is not merely expresses how we feel, but it completes the enjoyment. It's not out of compliment that lovers keep on telling each other how beautiful or how wonderful they are. The delight is incomplete until it's expressed. You know, there's something powerful that happens when you tell another person you love them. And you know, that's a new experience for many people, because there are people in your life that perhaps you and I have never expressed love to. Love isn't complete until it's expressed.
Well, what about you, my friend? Are you a person who has trouble expressing love? Are you a person who has trouble hearing the words, I love you, from someone else? People are uncomfortable with that as well. That's part of what this message is about from Psalm 145, about praising God every day of your life. Our website is crosshope.org. That's one word, crosshope.org. God bless you, and thanks for listening.
This actually happened yesterday. Annie can verify it. I got a phone call during supper from Mark Merchant from Atlanta. You know, some of you will remember Mark, because Mark is the professional ventriloquist. We had him here on a Sunday a year or two ago to talk to the kids. He travels all over the world on ships, cruise ships, doing shows, entertaining people. That's his full-time job, as an entertainer, as a professional ventriloquist on cruise ships. And he called, he said, I want to tell you something. I was convicted about something you said in a recent message, either listening to it on the web or on XM or Sirius down in Atlanta. And he said, I was so moved by something you said in a sermon that I realized I had never told my brother that I loved him. Never. I've got a grown brother named Matt. He said, I've never told Matt that I loved him. It was 2:30 in the morning. And he said, I knew that Matt was working. He's worked the midnight shift at a company where he was the guy that answered the phone, was at the computer at the front desk, wherever that company was in Atlanta. And he called his phone at 2 in the morning. And his brother said, "This is Matt, front desk." And Mark said, "Brother, I just called you because I really feel convicted by something I heard in a message. Just wanted to tell you, I love you." And Matt says, "Mark, are you drunk? Are you drunk?" That was his exact answer. He was so taken back by his brother saying, "Are you drunk because he said I love you?" Who would question your sobriety if you told them you love them today? You got a fever? Something wrong with you, not feeling well? Who would question your health, your sobriety, your mental stability because you express love? Love isn't complete until it's expressed. And that's why I look at verse 2. "Every day I will praise you and I will extol your name forever and ever. I'll lift up your name forever and ever. Great is the Lord and most worthy of praise. His greatness no one can fathom." And I love verse 4. I want to spend some time on it. "One generation will commend your works to another. They will tell of your mighty acts." It dawned on me one day that part of the responsibility of our lives in our generation is to pass on the next generation not all the wisdom we know about football. It's not to pass on all the expertise about politics. It's not to spend all our time passing down technical information to the next generation. Part of my responsibility and yours as a Christian is my generation to pass on to the next generation commending the works of God. Edith Schaefer, who I quoted last week, the wife of Francis Schaefer, said that this generation has dropped the baton. We have dropped the baton. You watch the relay races and you know what it means in a relay race. One runner passes the baton to the next runner. And if that baton is dropped, it's usually over. It's it. And we have dropped the baton in this generation of what? Passing truth on, spiritual, scriptural, biblical truth to the next generation. And here we're under admonition for one generation to commend your works to another, to tell of your mighty acts. What? To praise God in terms of what he's done in creation, in redemption, and in our personal lives. And that's what we're to do with the next generation. Whatever your children and grandchildren learn from you, I hope there's some point where they can say, "And Dad or Mom, Grandpa or Grandma told me about the power of God. And they told me what God had done as a four-year-old. I still remember them telling me about God in creation and God in redemption in terms of the cross. I remember him telling me or she telling me about what God did in their lives." Some of you listen to the music of Stephen Curtis Chapman. He wrote this. I don't think it's a lyric. It's just something he wrote. "In the gospel we discover we are far worse off than we thought we were." Interesting statement. "In the gospel, we discover we are far worse off than we thought we were, and we're far more loved than we ever dreamed." We're far more loved than we ever dreamed. Did you catch that? We discover in the gospel that we're far worse off than we thought we were, and far more loved than we ever dreamed. Let's look at verse 8. "The Lord is gracious and compassionate, slow to anger, and rich in love." I just have a thought here. I didn't share this in the first service. If those are the character qualities and the personality traits, whatever term you want to use, of the Lord, does that describe you at all? Verse 8. Does that describe your spouse at all? Does it describe your parents at all? Does it describe your children at all? The Lord is gracious and compassionate, slow to anger, and rich in love. You know, most people, and not being sarcastic at all, not being facetious, are just the opposite. We're anything but gracious to other people. I've told you this before, I've said this before, but some people think that it's okay to be rude to strangers under the guise of this. Well, I don't know him. I don't know her. I got a right to be rude to her or him. Where do we ever get that out of Scripture? The Lord is gracious. Are you gracious to people around you? Are you gracious to your own family? There's something wrong when a husband and father is gracious to a waitress at a restaurant, but is anything but gracious to his wife and children. And there's something wrong when a wife and mother is gracious to a clerk at the mall and shows disdain and disgust for the people in her own family. What about slow to anger and rich in love? We're quick to anger. Most people are. You ever talk about somebody and say, hair trigger anger, hair trigger temper, he's got. Or maybe he's describing you. And people watch and walk on eggshells around you because of your anger. And the Lord is slow to anger and rich in love. I'd like for you to make a goal today that maybe verse 8 will not be just a description of the Lord, but it might be a description of you. Verse 13, your kingdom is an everlasting kingdom, and your dominion endures through all generations. God is a kingdom person, a kingdom leader. He's the king, and we're a part of the kingdom of God. We all are. You are, and so am I. I want to focus, though, on the last verse I read. The Lord is near to all who call on him, to all who call on him in truth. I love that verse for this reason. It's non-restrictive. Do you give your phone number out to just anybody? No, most people don't. Do you give your cell phone out to just anybody? Stranger comes up, can I have your cell phone? No. And the Lord says, I'm near to anyone who calls on me. How do you call on the Lord? Help me. God, help us in our situation. Help us in our finances. That's calling upon the name of the Lord. Help us with our son. Help us with our daughter. And God is as near as you calling upon him. And that's a new concept for people today. Today can be a change point that you say, I haven't been praising God much up until now. But starting today, every day I'm going to praise the Lord. Every day I'm going to thank him for what he's done in creation, in redemption, and in my life, and in our family. That's what it means to praise God. Lord, I thank you for what you've done in creation, all that you provided, and all that your hand have created. And I'm thanking you for what you've done in redemption, redeeming me from my sin, from myself, from the fear of death. All of that is involved in redemption, and I'm thankful for what you've done in our lives. I can honestly tell you that Annie and I have never seen the television show Survivor. How many of you enjoy it? I'm not condemning it. Anybody watch it? Survivor? There's both of you. Thank you. No, there are more than a couple of you watch it. And I can honestly tell you, we're just not into it, but I've read about it. And what I've read is that those who survive on the island are people who usually do it because they're cunning, they're shrewd. Sometimes they're slick operators, and they have a well-developed strategy. That's what I've read about it. Maybe if I'm wrong, you tell me later. And I was thinking about that. The people who make it, who survive on the show Survival, are cunning, shrewd, have a well-planned strategy. May I tell you something that may be a shock to some people? None of that has anything to do with getting to heaven. Nobody's going to get to heaven because they were cunning. Nobody's going to get into heaven because they were shrewd, and boy, they were a slick operator, and God's going to say, man, that, I was impressed with what you did and your strategy of getting into heaven. We all come as forgiven sinners by the grace of God, and we all come by throwing ourselves figuratively and literally at the foot of the cross and saying, I realize there's nothing to the cross I bring. I don't bring anything to the cross, to the table. It's all about his mercy, his grace, his redemptive power, his mercy in my life. And sometimes that's a Kodak moment when a man or woman figures that out. If you come to any funeral I've ever done, you've probably heard me tell a story by Max Lucado, one of my favorite authors. I quote him a lot, I admit it. I'm not ashamed of it. He's a great author. Max says in his first year of ministry in San Antonio, Texas, a man came and said, I want you to do the funeral for my mother. And while Max is sitting in the office making plans for this man's funeral, the man told him, he said, you know, Max, something interesting happened in the death of my mother. My mother was in a coma for days. She didn't say a word, nothing, no communication. She just in bed, just eyes closed, no communication. She said, my mother's name was Ida Glossbrenner, but her friends called her Polly. You need to know that part of the story. Her name was Ida Glossbrenner, but her friends called her Polly. So mom hasn't spoken for days, and right before she died, her eyes opened up. And with a clear voice, she said to somebody, my name is Ida Glossbrenner, but my friends call me Polly. And then she died. My name is Ida Glossbrenner, but my friends call me Polly. Hallucination? Maybe. Electrical charges happening in the brain, synapses firing and all that, and just full of energy and a pre-death experience? Maybe. But Max Lucado says, maybe not. Maybe. Just maybe. She was at the door of heaven. And she was introducing herself to somebody. I'm Ida Glossbrenner, but my friends call me Polly. You don't get to heaven because you're shrewd, you're cunning, you're slick operator. You know how to pull the right strings. You know who to pay. You know what to do. We all come as forgiven sinners or not at all. It's all about his grace and his mercy as a result of what he's done in creation, redemption, and in my life. Here's what I do every day. I praise the Lord every day of my life. Decide today is the day we're going to start praising God. Because something happens when you praise him. Something dynamic happens when you tell somebody, I love you. Are you drunk? No, I'm not drunk. I just really love you. Can you imagine what that meant to Matt, his brother, when he said that? I just called to tell you I loved you. God's told you that every time you come to this place. I love you. And the proof is the cross. The proof is the cross. Let's pray together.
If you'd like to hear this message again, you can. Crosshope.org. That's one word. Crosshope.org. God bless you.
You've been listening to Cross Hope with Randy Snyder. For more information about this ministry or to re-listen to any message heard on this broadcast, go to our website at crosshope.org. Be sure to join us at this same time each weekday or listen at www.crosshope.org. Cross Hope is listener-supported and is produced by Cross Hope Ministries, Incorporated.